and welcome to the College of Creation. My name is Dan.
And my name is Michael.
And we are Dungeons & Dragons DMs who love to homebrew spells, items, classes, creatures, and features for 5th edition Dungeons & Dragons. I varied it up a little bit that time. I never quite know exactly what I'm going to say there because we make a lot of stuff for
it's
our games.
A little bit different every time. A little bit and that's
different
okay.
Every time. And that's good. How you doing today, Michael?
I'm doing very well. How are you?
I am good. Yeah, I felt actually pretty good about the whole process this time around. I didn't have a ton of stumbling blocks.
I had almost none. This one came to me very easily. It was a really solid prompt. I think it was right in the middle between being too specific and too vague. It was just the perfect amount of both.
Yeah. As a reminder, the prompt that we had for this week was we were both tasked by our community, each of us individually, to make a magic item that uses movement speed as a resource. So some sort of ability to spend it or utilize it.
Such a good idea, yeah.
I think you're exactly right. It's right there on the line of there's a specific mechanic that it wants you to pull out, but there's a lot of ways you can manipulate that mechanic and make it work differently.
Absolutely.
Yeah, spending it or I guess we'll talk about it when we see what each other has made, but I think there are a lot of ways that one can utilize movement speed that's different than just getting from point A to point B.
I focused a lot on being stationary, which is not something that is often praised in the game. A lot of times I feel like in the rules as written, there are so many features that increase things, very few features that reward you for just taking time and staying still.
Yeah. I mean, you mentioning that right now makes me think that I've kind of made something like this before. In a previous game, it had a little bit of like an Eberron sort of flavor to it, where there was like some technology, some like magical technology mixed in with the magic and stuff of the world. I made a whole series of items that could be acquired from an arcano mechanical arms like dealership corporation almost.
Oh, I love that.
There was a bow that was very cool. There was a couple other things that I don't remember, but the shield specifically was really interesting because it could generate a force field. It was like a big tower shield.
Mm-hmm.
If you wanted to generate a force field that was like larger, that ended up being almost like a resilient sphere, you would have to slam it into the ground and hold your position there. And it's exactly what you're saying there is it was granting a benefit to someone who like put that into the ground and stood their ground, allowing this like basically wall of force to present itself so that you can create better defenses. It's the kind of thing that works really well in a siege situation. I hadn't thought of that as something that specifically was about movement speed, but I think you're right.
It's so uncommon in the game. It's all about... Well, not all. I can't say anything all-encompassing, but the vast majority of features within Dungeons & Dragons promotes just going, you know? Getting it done, advancing, attacking, moving. No, sometimes you just need to relax.
Take a breath. That'd be a good idea for some sort of monk... maybe a subclass or something like that. I know we already talked about our monk stuff, but I feel like...
too much monk stuff.
But I feel like some kind of idea of a monk that practices patience in that sort of specific way, that mechanically the game doesn't usually reward patience, but maybe there is a... I think it fits monk the best that there could be a monk subclass that utilized patience.
It's been a while since we have talked about subclasses. Our first two episodes, we did two back-to-back subclasses, and we've been doing things... outside of that realm sense, we have both talked about subclasses being the favorite thing, our favorite thing to make, just because of the breadth of what we can explore and how many different things can be hit on within a single project. Do you have a favorite subclass that you have made? One that sticks out to you?
Yeah, I mean, you're absolutely right. I love making subclasses. I feel like they are the ones that I usually work the closest with players on.
Yeah.
Like, yep. I just had a cleric who was interested in something that was adjacent to nature domain, but was more focused in, like, frost sort of nature, very tundra sort of focused nature stuff. So we cobbled some stuff together and came up with something that feels really fun and cool. But I loved working with the player specifically to make that happen. As far as some of my own experiments, though, I would say I have this anti-magic paladin that I love a lot that I think is very cool. But the one I think I am most sort of pleased with and most would want to see used in a long-form campaign, this is a little bit of a pitch to any players who might want to come and play with me. If you feel like being a bard, I have a subclass that could be very fun and feels like it has a lot of RP potential, but it's called the Empath. But the whole sort of core mechanic of it are these empathic bonds that you can form with other members of your party, or NPCs are also possible there, allowing you to both get specific benefits when you're close to each other, when you're helping each other. You know, they all have a little bit of a different flavor to them, and I would just love to see it played out because I think it would be a really fun thing for a duo to play with. Two players
who maybe
backstories are already connected or something like that, or something that over the course of an adventure, you know, helps to reward two players making choices that, like, bond their characters, even if they didn't start as friends, you know, even if they didn't start as people who knew each other. Over the course of this, you can say, oh, well, I have these empathic bonds, and at the end of this short rest, let's have a conversation, and I would like to grant, like, the both of us the bond of allies, and now we both gain a little bit of a bonus, and it's a mechanical reward for playing out that relationship aspect that I think is so fun in a party and an adventuring party. So that I think is the one that I most would love to see played.
I really enjoy anything that promotes role play in general, but inter-party role play. I mean, maybe that's just my experience, but I feel like a lot of times there's a lot of singularity that is put to the forefront. There aren't many things included in the rules to help, especially newer players, feel comfortable assimilating into their party. That's kind of just a table-by-table basis. And I wish there was more of that. And I wish there were more subclasses that can kind of ease somebody into the idea of going from strangers to allies to friends to bonded people.
Yeah, I mean, it's so interesting. And there are a lot of ways that I've seen to get around that particular issue because, like, the time gets so dilated and weird that it's hard to remember consciously that if you're in an adventuring party and you're going on an adventure that spans maybe a few months, you are around the same four other people. You're camping, you're staying in inns together for like 4 months or something like that. That's going to bond you. Anybody who's been with a touring band and you go on tour for even a couple months realizes that, like, staying with people for that amount of time, constantly, 24/7, it creates a different dynamic than just, like, meeting up every, you know, for 4 hours every week or something like that. So your characters should be experiencing, like, a much quicker and deeper sense of connection with each other, or at least some understanding of each other. But it's hard to play that out in the game because most tables don't want to spend the entire time they're playing the game acting out the, like, full verisimilitude of, let's have 4 hours of what is actually happening at camp. One thing I've seen to kind of get around that, and I'm getting way off topic into a tangent now, but have you ever had or tried a fireside chat group chat or Discord or whatever?
In what context? Because I think maybe I have. You're talking about, like, inter-party just having a chat going.
Yeah, like an in-character chat, right?
I have been a part of one, especially if you're in a play by post game, which I have done a couple, you see the similarities and differences in how people type in character and out of character. Like we'll hopping from a general chat to the party chat is so strange because you can pick out different phrasings and the different vernacular that people use. That's really good to kind of meld the two, right? Player and PC, you can kind of make that more unified.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I've used it in a couple of different games just to sort of like amplify that feeling of like, you all should and would be like trying to get to know each other. You'd be having like conversations around a campfire, right? And what would those look like? What are the things that you would share with each other? And sometimes those require prompts. Sometimes, you know, roll something on this list of conversation prompts that are just like basically glorified get to know you games. But, you know, I do feel like in the past that's been a good way to get around that and do that. But yeah, I agree. There's lots of fun ways to promote that sort of role play, that sort of relationship building within the party. How about you? What is your favorite subclass you've made?
I used to write for a magazine called Higher Powers, the Cleric Corner. He's a creator in the D&D space. I used to write for his magazine, so I would write subclasses for him all the time. And that was a very rewarding and odd experience because it was creating subclasses based on prompts, not for specific people that I knew. It was for the purpose of publishing, you know, and just like making things to immediately be launched out into a content drop. So I have a lot of subclasses from that. I have now gone back and I have two that stick out to me. One of them I have played personally. I really enjoy. It's a ranger subclass called the Star Jumper. It's based loosely on astronauts, like Buzz Lightyear type of thing.
Okay.
A big feature is this air envelope that you can produce for yourself. You can make envelopes for your companions so you can breathe out in space. Immunity to gaseous dangers, anything that's in the air, you can kind of filter and breathe through. It gives you some resistance to breath weapons, things like that. So it's a very cool, very cosmic type of thing. But I have played it, and it's a very fun ranger subclass.
That seems very fun, very like pulp Flash Gordon-y kind of energy.
Yeah, it's very similar to that. The other one that comes to mind, a player at my table had, just on an offhand comment,
okay,
fighter subclass called the Divine Randomizer. The whole idea, every feature is the same. The idea is you are this fighter that you only operate based on the gear that is sent to you by your benefactor. So there's a D100 rollable table with a bunch of items from common to legendary, and every time you hit a feature level, you roll on that table, and whatever item comes up, you get a free attunement slot, and you get that item. It can't be taken off of you, and you can't unattune from it, so it becomes part of your gear. So, like, if you had an Iron Man suit, Tony Stark would send you, like, the belt of ogre strength, or gauntlets of ogre power, and you have strength now. But it's all random, so whenever you get to that level, you get to the third level or whatever, you roll on the table and you get the gauntlets, and that's what you have. But you also have the option of getting less desirable weapons or armor. It's completely random. You go into playing it not knowing at all what your build is going to be by the end.
Yeah, you're just like an agent of the company, and the company sends you the gear that you need to do your job, and you just look at it like, okay, I guess that's what I need.
You're out in the field, and they just drop a salvo.
Just airdrop. That's very fun. That sounds like a very good time.
It's incredibly fun to watch it and play. I've only had one player play it once for one single session, one shot, and it was just a joy.
Now we shouldn't get into it, but now I do kind of want to know what your least favorite subclass you ever made is, and the thing that you feel like was just like an absolute failed experiment. But we'll talk about that another time. You stew on that because we have to get to our actual presentations. I have one too, buddy. Best believe it. It's time, though. We got to get to our actual stuff, though. The actual thing we're supposed to be talking about. The people have waited long enough for us to reveal our items. In classic style, I can't imagine that you brought just a single item, nor did I. I came up with three sort of different items. One takes your movement speed and grants it to somebody else. One takes your movement speed to allow you to do a different thing. And one is similar to what you were saying, allows you to give up your movement speed to get something. So I'm going to send you over one horn, two boots. It's one horn and two pairs of boots. The first one is called the Tactician's Horn. It is a rare magic item. This grand war horn is wielded by generals and commanders to lead their soldiers into battle. While attuned to this horn, you can expend any amount of your movement speed on your turn in 5-foot increments. For every 5 feet of movement you spend in this way, you can grant another creature that can hear you within 120 feet of you an additional 5 feet of movement on its next turn. So by standing in your same spot, giving up a little bit of your movement speed, you can direct your allies to move around the board a little bit further than they normally would be able to.
I love that.
Yeah, it's not super powerful. In fact, I think I have it as rare, but I could probably knock that down to uncommon. Gives a little bit of the warlord sort of vibes without us actually having a warlord in the game. Just a little bit. The second item here is the Dancer's Boots. These light boots are flexible and well-suited to a dancer's quick steps. It's a rare magic item. You can expend 10 feet of movement on your turn to carry out a bewildering series of dance steps. Each creature of your choice within 15 feet of you must make a DC 15 wisdom saving throw or become charmed by you until the end of your next turn. Again, pretty simple. You do a little bit of a dance, people are like, oh, ah, what's happening?
And hey, look at this guy.
Yeah, look at this guy. Could be very fun. I also feel like I maybe want to extend the duration to a full minute so it could have some out-of-combat use, allow you to, you know, do a little dance and maybe distract a bit in maybe more of a heisty sort of situation.
Yeah, you could always extend the duration and just make it make that wisdom save available at the end of every turn, too.
So yeah, it's
Through, like, super broken.
Yeah.
Or just increase it to very rare, and I feel like that would be totally fine.
Yeah, something like that.
I like that a lot.
It's very simple. And then the last one are the Steadfast Boots. They are medium armor. They are rare. And these plate armor boots have sharp steel spikes protruding from the soles. On your turn, you can dig the spikes into the ground as a free action. While dug in, you are under the following effect until you use a bonus action to dislodge yourself. Your speed becomes zero. You are immune to all effects that would push or pull you and effects that would teleport you or send you to another plane of existence against your will. They ground you to this plane of existence. You are not allowed to leave. And you gain a +5 bonus to all strength, athletics checks, and strength saving throws.
This is so good. This is my favorite of the three.
Yeah.
I think this is... It's such a cool mechanic, like we were talking about before. It's something that's not used very often, and I love rewarding players for this type of tactical play where it's not just running around and hitting your amount of attacks and then saying your turn is done. This type of defensive play is so uncommon, and I love to see it. This is a great item.
Well, it's almost a Hodor situation, right? Like, you could be that guy. Like, you can kind of become almost a version of an immovable rod yourself this way.
Mm-hmm.
You can just, like, stand in a hallway and in the hallway fight, just, like, dig yourself in and nobody can get past you. Your friends have plenty of time to get away, whatever they need to do. I maybe even would add something like this, like, no creatures can move through your space.
Yeah,
it's because
they physically can't push by you,
because they're like small creatures and swarms and stuff that usually would be able to move through your space, which I would want this to have functionality that disallows that makes it so that you are the bulwark, dramatic moments, that kind of stuff.
I really like that a lot.
Yeah,
I made a playable species a while back that was similar. It was a tree species, like a plant species, and one of its features was it could root into the ground.
Yeah.
And it was similar to this, not nearly as streamlined. It probably was much more clunky than this. But I love it. This is great.
I appreciate it. I appreciate it. And now with that, I'm very excited to see what you came up with.
I also brought three items today. I didn't go with my normal style of just throwing 1,000 things out there and calling back. This felt very good, very, very natural. Three of them just kind of came out of my brain, and I revised over the last couple of days. But I like these in their current state. So again, just like you, I feel like this week was without too many roadblocks. The first one is called the Kinetic Stepmaster.
Okay.
This is basically a miniature step machine, like a workout machine.
Okay. Stairmaster.
And essentially, this is a generator. You're stepping and putting power into this generator. The generator resembles a small box with moving panels circulating around it. Each paddle moves up and down alternatively, so it simulates climbing stairs.
Mm-hmm,
on your turn, instead of moving, you can remain in place and walk up to your available movement on the paddles of the generator, and this will bank a small amount of power in the generator. Once 60 feet of movement has been banked into the generator, you can use an action to expel all of the energy, emanating a protective dome that lasts until the end of your next turn. Any creature that is within the dome can reduce any damage for a single hit taken by 5. So it's just a general aura of protection.
Okay.
The radius of the dome is 5 feet and can be increased if more feet of movement are banked, according to the table below. So if you just sit, if you walk up to, it goes up to 180 feet, it increases the dome radius to 25 feet. So you can just be there, stepping on your stepmaster,
mm-hmm.
a whole combat, and then once it gets really dicey, you can push the button and shoot out a giant dome of protection for you and your allies to reduce a bunch of damage. The generator can produce a protective dome 4 times, regardless of radius. So if you save, whether you save up or not, 4 times max, and regains 1d4 uses daily at dawn. All banked movement also resets at dawn.
That's fun.
I put this as rare, but I felt like it was kind of on the edge. Like, that's a lot of movement that you're not using to get around, you know?
Yeah, I also think the other thing is that regardless of the size, it only reduces damage by 5, which is, it's good, but it's not going to necessarily be the difference all mm-hmm. the time, right?
Right.
So I think rare is exactly right from my reading of this. You know, I think if you did want to scale these things to last longer, reduce more damage or anything like that, I feel like that would up it to a very rare sort of situation. But I feel like rare feels good for where it's at now.
I thought about scaling the duration, but then I just didn't want to make it super complex. I thought that was maybe one too many moving parts.
Yeah, I think this is very fun and has a whimsicalness that I think is really delightful.
Thank you. My second item, I also came with a pair of boots today. These are called the Power Kickers. This tough pair of boots is lined with dozens of metal nodes, which upon attunement connect through the lining and into your feet.
Oh.
While in combat, you can choose to run in place up to your available movement. For every 10 feet of movement spent running in place, on your turn, you can add a +1 bonus to the next damage roll made while attacking with these boots. It's for the fighter that is ready to just like get in and body some hits and stay up in the fray, and they're just like running in place while they're attacking.
I'm getting the vision of like joggers at Shopping crosswalks.
Yeah.
Who just like keep going just a little bit, just to keep the blood flowing, keep the muscles moving.
Yeah.
That's very fun. But also it gives me the vibe of like you are stepping on pins and needles, so you kind of like can't because it hurts too much to stand still.
Right, yeah. It's like walking
that's
on
fun.
Coals.
That's fun.
You're just
yeah.
always just like And I did stipulate that the boots count as a simple melee weapon, They deal 1d6 piercing damage on a hit, and they possess the finesse and light properties. Nice. So it has to be a predominantly light-footed martial character that uses them. The last one is the craziest idea of the three. This is called the Cube of Maddening Fatigue. It is an artifact. It requires attunement. And once per turn, you can invoke this cube as an action, causing it to burst outward with dazzling color. First time it's used in a day, it deals 3d6 radiant damage to any creature within 20 feet of you. Flat. No save, just damage. Okay. With each subsequent use, the damage dealt increases by 1d6, and the radius increases by 5 feet, so it gets more powerful every time you use it. Okay. After every use, it weighs on your body and reduces your walking speed by 10 feet. However, if your speed is reduced to 0, your strength and dexterity scores also drop to 0, and the only action you can take is to keep using the cube until you gain back at least 1 point of dexterity or strength.
Whoa.
Yeah. So if you drop to 0, you're just controlled by the cube. You're just shooting out beams of light until somebody can cast greater restoration on you.
Any creature within 20 feet of you also. Like, it,
just...
Oh, man. This is like a cursed item, man. This is rough.
Yeah.
No, it's very cool though. Just awful. Oh gosh.
Yeah, you just are real bad. I was thinking, because I made a TikTok about intellect devourers. Oh, really? Mm-hmm. I made a TikTok about challenge rating and how much I think it sucks.
Yeah.
But within that video, I talked about intellect devourers and how one of their abilities reduces your intelligence to 0. And I thought, that's an interesting thing. What could I do with movement? And I thought, dexterity and strength seems like an artifact thing to drop to 0. So if you really want to go in and, like, last stand a bunch of enemies, if you're running in and you're like,
yeah,
I need to get the rest of my party out, and I'm like, this is the end. I'm going to go in and take care of everything else.
Oh, yeah. So many things immediately spring to mind that are just very narratively interesting, I think, about this item. Right. One of them is just that, like, somebody can't get close to you to cast even, like, a greater restoration or anything, because you immediately use it, like, as soon as they get close enough to you, and it just, like, batters them with a ton of radiant damage. So that sucks. Right. I just imagine, like, walking into a tomb just filled with the corpses of demons or undead or something else like that, and just, like, one body in the middle of it just holding on to this cube. Just
pulsing with light.
Yeah. Oh, man. That would be such a cool encounter. I'm going to put that in a dungeon now. Far nice. Too cool. Far too cool. I like them all. I also love that they are all very different from what I came up with. I didn't want to do anything that was specifically damage related. That was sort of my thing that I was like, oh, that doesn't feel like what my move is going to be this time around. So I'm glad that you did do a couple things that were more offensive combat related things.
Our rule this time was the addition of movement speed. I wanted to stay away completely from giving movement speed, increasing it for the user, increasing it for other people. I just wanted to straight up use it as a resource for the items. So I'm glad that you went the other direction.
Yeah, cool.
We had 6 very unique items.
6 incredibly unique items. That's the thing. That's what I love about some of these prompts that are just in that sweet spot, is that both of us are going to come up with... We each came up with 3 things instead of 1 thing. And we each came up with 3 very different things from each other, or from the items that we created. So we end up with, like, 6 wild things. I imagine if we gave this prompt, though, to anybody else, we'd have 6, 9, 12 more things that are entirely different, that don't even touch what we've got here. And I love that so much.
In that vein, if anyone listening has any ideas for items that would use movement speed as a resource, we would love to hear about it. Please contact us at collegeofcreationpod@gmail.com, or you can message us over on TikTok. I am there at Michael_Barlos, and Dan is there at
Sir Dr. K.
Please reach out and let us know your ideas. We'd love to hear them.
We would love to hear from you all and hear any other ideas that you come up with here. This is the greatest part of this whole project is seeing all of the cool other things that you're making that would never have occurred to me. These boots are so far outside of the realm of anything I ever would have thought of. Very cool, though. Very cool.
Thanks, man.
Yeah, these were really fun to make, and these were not difficult to make either. It was just...
I like this a lot.
Yeah. What a nice week to have where we weren't agonizing over were we going to even have something to present.
Right. Yeah, me last week. Shall we roll for our prompt for next week?
Absolutely. All right, Michael, go ahead. Give us a roll.
We're looking at a 9 today, Dan.
A 9? And it is right up your alley, because number 9 is a subclass that slowly turns the character into a cyborg with each feature.
Oh my god.
A subclass that slowly turns the character into a cyborg with each feature. How do you feel about this one, Michael?
So there are a couple layers to this. First, I love the brief. I think it is such a cool thing. On a different level, though, I enjoy that they didn't stipulate class.
Yes.
This is a subclass that could be anything.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to be very interested to see what each of us go with for class.
Yeah.
Because I think this could work with just about anything. I think...
Pretty much anything except for Druid, maybe.
Druid would be a tough one, although I think if you're loose with the idea of what a cyborg is, you can maybe make it work.
Yeah. I mean, the obvious one... is Artificer. I feel like that right away it would count that out for me.
Now, I have a question for you, Michael, then. If you want to count out Artificer entirely, that's fine by me, which leaves us with 13 classes. Oh, and if we also wanted to take out Druid, we could get down to 12, and then each of us could roll a d12 and just randomize what class we build for.
Do you want to do that right now?
We might do. I don't know. What do you think?
I love that. Okay. Yeah, let's do it.
All right.
Let's do it. All right, 1 to 12. We have Barbarian, Bard, Blood Hunter, Cleric, Fighter, Monk, Paladin, Ranger, Rogue, Sorcerer, Warlock, and Wizard.
Okay, so roll your d12. I want to know what you get.
All right, here we go. I got a 5.
Okay.
Which gives me a Fighter.
How do you feel about that?
I like Fighters. I think on a ground level, fighters can be kind of sequestered into the realm of being a little bit boring or not very unique. And this is a chance to circumvent that.
Amazing. Let's see what I get. That is an 11.
The dice gods have been in your favor today.
They sure
have. You will be made warlock.
I can dig that. I can dig that.
These are going to be completely different in the best way. So many cool directions to go with a warlock.
Oh man, now I just want to like do one for each.
We'll just have to make a book. We'll just have to make a book. 14 classes, each of us can take 7, and we'll make a whole cyborg compendium of subclasses.
Yes, the Borg compendium. I'm excited to see what you come up with. I'm excited to see what I come up with. I can't wait.
Likewise.
I'm sure it's going to be incredible. And until then, we will have to talk to you next week. Michael, what do you have to say to the people?
Dan, you know, I always have something to say to the people at the end of our recordings here. Dungeons & Dragons is a fun game. We're playing with our friends. We're having a good time. We're eating snacks. One thing that we can all do for each other to make that experience better is to show up on time. So please do your best to just be on time.
At least tell me that you're going to be late.
Or tell me, yeah. Please just shoot me a text if you're going to be late. That is also acceptable.
In any case, I hope you all have a wonderful day. Keep creating. Keep making great stuff. And we will be in your ears next week.
Goodbye.
Hey y'all, thanks for listening to this episode of the College of Creation. If you want to see our creations from this episode and all our past episodes, you can find those for free on our Patreon page at patreon.com/collegeofcreationpod.
And if you decide you want to become a patron, you'll also automatically get access to any revised versions of these creations, plus our patron Discord and bonus chats with Michael and me, where we just talk about anything and everything D&D. We play games, we have a good time. You can send your homebrew prompts and questions to collegeofcreationpod@gmail.com. Our music is by Fuser Wolf. You can check out his tunes on Bandcamp and Spotify. Thanks again all for listening, and we will see you right here again next week.